I mean, bringing them to you.
I don't know.
And now the old man will have a few words to say. I am assigned the new covenant. And we will tell you again how all these things that we have today will be eliminated. Behold, the days cometh, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the days that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband. That means a lot. Although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 31:32. And mind you, this is Jehovah talking, not our Lord. No, the Father talking and not the Son. This new covenant, mind you, is the all-comprehensive covenant and will bring about the final reconciliation and restitution and blessing of all mankind from the reign of sin and death. Now notice, here we have reference to a covenant that especially has reference to the blessing of Israel after their regathering into their homeland. And mind you, there they are, getting ready for what's going to happen. Now let us note the wonderful words of verse 29-34. In those days, they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten the sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge, but every one shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth a sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. All heredity, you see, is now eliminated. Every individual will suffer for his own conduct. Now let us note the wonderful progress made during the millennial age. They shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them. For I will forgive their sin, and I will remember their sin no more. Verse 34. My, how God has thanked the nation of Israel. And all during this time, they have wondered what will be our lot yet in the future. Yes, but now the wonderful change is about to take place. We are reminded here of the great distinction between the old covenant and the new law covenant. The old law covenant was disregarded, And the new law covenant will be respected and kept. Quite a distinction, yes. Let us remember also that the failure of the old law covenant was not in the imperfection of it, for it was perfect. And the Jews responded gladly by saying, yes, all that the Lord has commanded will we do. Exodus 19 and 8. They thought they could keep that law, but everything was junk in that law. Everything was junk. Now, you know, we today have no such condition. Everything is do, do, do. Yes, what a change. So, the world will have the same law in due time. And everything will be do. And what will they do? One thing. Obedience. The divine law. That's all anyone. Not have any other thought. Only obedience to the divine law. Just think of it. All will be so-minded. So that there'll never be any disobedience. No. Every man live forever. What do you think of it? Yes. Do you recall that this law covenant promised eternal life to all who kept it in full? And only one individual, one Jew, was able to keep that law. And that great law covenant, if it didn't do anything else, it did demonstrate one Jew that inherited the right to live upon this earth forever. Yes. The man Christ Jesus, that was what he earned by keeping the law. Now the Father says, now what are you going to do with that right to live as a human being on this earth? Father, gladly will I present it to you. And I will become the ransomer, the redeemer of the human race. Yes, that wonderful privilege that he saw in the field. And he said, yes, I'll purchase that field and get that jewel that in that field. Yes. The condemned human race. So now, you see, that's what the law covenant did. Yes. Yea, thy law, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is written within my heart. And while this law had the mediator, had its mediator, but unable to cover the weaknesses of the people, the man Christ Jesus needed no mediator, you see, being a perfect human being, therefore was able to become the great redeemer, who offered himself as the great corresponding price for Adam, who purchased the treasure hid in the field. Matthew 13:44, and has become, just see what our Lord has gained, and he has become the possessor of both the field and the treasure within the field. Yet, he has inherited the entire earth from pole to pole, and all who have lived upon the earth will in due time be blessed by him. And he has gained it all. Now let us note here the difference between the mediators of these two covenants. In the first law covenant, the mediator Moses was merely a fallen human being, powerless to assist our weaknesses. But the wonderful difference in the mediator of the new law covenant, the mystical body of Christ, yea, all were in the beginning now. Here's an important item. All were in the beginning fallen human beings, except the head, of course. But what was he obliged to do? He was obliged to endure the contact for 3.5 years of that awful atmosphere all around him with that fine sensitive nature. So what happened? He learned to sympathize and to pity to such an extent that he broke down and cried as a result of the awful atmosphere all around him. So now, my dear brethren, if we hope to be of this antitypical priesthood, never forget that the essential necessity is to have great sympathy and great pity for this sin-cursed earth, this crazy cockeyed civilization. Yes, that's what I call it. Now we pity it, not condemn it. Oh, and this great priesthood will have abundance of pity and sympathy for this sin-cursed earth. That's the great difference. And now just think, every individual in that body of Christ, aside from the head, are taken out of this sin-cursed earth. You know, I don't think I've ever said this here, but I'm going to say it here. You know the difference between two words, empathy and sympathy? If you don't, I'll tell you. Well, if you have a great calamity of some kind, and I meet you on the street the next day, and I say, well, brother, I have great sympathy with you for your predicament. Well, did you ever have the same experience? Oh, no. Well, then you can't sympathize. You can only empathize. Now, look it up in the dictionary, you'll find that's true. That's the word. Now, if you haven't had the same experience, you know, you can only empathize. But if you've had the same experience, which every member of the body of Christ will have, then they can actually be a sympathetic priesthood. My, what a wonderful arrangement God has made. Yes, now that's the difference in the mediator. Yes, my, what a sympathetic mediator the world will have. Yes. This mystical body, all were in the beginning fallen human beings, except the head, of course. But all who underwent the great transformation of heart and mind, Romans 12, 1 and 2, until all have become a sympathetic priesthood of the divine nature. My, just think what God is doing. He's taking out this material to be the blesser of all the families of the earth, and he's getting his material right here in this sin-cursed place. Just call to mind the experiences of our Lord, the head, all the while in his ministry. He was deeply touched in his fine sensitive nature with all the uncouth atmosphere surrounding him all the while. And do we stop and consider? All the members of his body are continually in contact with this awful, sinful atmosphere and should be also touched. Yes, touched and sympathetic Yea, pity the groaning creation around us, which should qualify us for membership in the great sympathetic priesthood. We call our master broke under the strain, as we've already said, yet, where it says Jesus wept. And therefore, we should be deeply touched with the fallen race in their undone condition. So therefore, the great mediator, the head, the great sympathetic divine high priest, with all his body members during the millennium, sets up his mediatorial reign. In due time, and puts into operation this wonderful new law covenant to do what the old law covenant was unable to do, bless the entire obedient Jewish nation. That's what should have been. And if they had been obedient, why, just think, not a Gentile would be in the body of Christ. Everyone would have been a Jew. Oh, my! How the Jewish people have, as we use the vernacular, missed the boat. Yeah, they missed the boat. Yes. The Jewish nation, and this new law covenant, mind you, also includes the times of restitution of all things, which will eventually include all the Gentile nations. Now we're going to say something, maybe you never heard this before, but it's all scripture. So after those days, after their dispersion and regathering into their homeland, this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts. The very heart. Yes. In their inward parts. Write it in their heart. And will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall keep no more every man his neighbor. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. But I will not turn away from them to do no good, to do good, no. Yea, I will rejoice over them. Now just think, this is scripture. I will rejoice over them. And I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart. Jehovah God is talking. Yes. With my whole heart. Yeah. And will be their God. Yes. And with my whole soul, Jehovah God is putting his entire life into the people of Israel now under this new arrangement. He says, I'm going to be with them with heart and soul completely. And I will make an everlasting covenant. Yeah, and now what a blessed lot this is for Israel. That's wonderful. What are you going to do about the rest of the world? Well, let's see. But where does the Gentiles come in? And this shall be the plague. Now notice what we're going to have here. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord shall smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. And you know, in Jacob's trouble, all the nations more or less will be involved. They're all have something to do with it in a greater or minor way. That great army that come down to take the spoil. Now what's going to happen to them? Now listen. The Lord shall smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Now listen, if you never heard this before, get it now. Their flesh shall consume while they stand upon their feet. What do you know? And their eyes shall consume away in their holes. And their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. What does all this mean? Why, it means that all the Gentile people who have hated the Jew and really fought against him, they will be in a hopeless and a helpless situation. That's what it means. If that ain't a hopeless and helpless situation, I don't know what it would mean. That's the predicament now of the Gentile people. What are they going to do? Let's see. And it shall be that whosoever will... Let's see. Yes. And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. I, in this hopeless, helpless situation of the Gentiles, there won't be any refreshing. No rain until they do something. What are they going to do? Let's see. No rain. That would be the Gentile world now. Go not up and come not. They have no rain. There shall be the plague wherewith the Lord shall smite the heathen that come not up to keep the feast of the tabernacle. Well, that don't mean the Gentile people all go to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of the Tabernacle, but they'll look to Jerusalem. Now then, we want refreshment. We want rain. How are we going to get it? We'll have to go to Jerusalem and celebrate the Feast of the Tabernacle. What's that mean? That means the rich Jew and the poor Jew are all on a common level. For 7 days they dwelt that way, picturing the new order of things which we have now in mind under the new covenant. Yes, that's what they have to do. This shall be the punishment of Egypt, the Gentile nation, and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the feast of the tabernacle. That great common leveling. Yes. What does all this mean, then, dear brethren? It means that every nation on the face of the earth will lose their national individuality and remain in the time of trouble with their flesh consumed. Now, as Rico said, they're in an awful position. Hopeless and helpless, their flesh consumed, their eyes out, and their tongue out, except the Jewish nation. The only nation established by God. All other nations have been established by men. Yes. God only has established the Jewish nation. They are my people. Yes. And he's going to take care of them in due time, as we're trying to show you. Yes. And now notice this serious predicament is called to our attention by the prophet Isaiah 2:2-4. The mountain of the Lord's house, established in the tops of the mountains, and all people and all nations shall fall into it. Again, Jeremiah 3:17-18. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of God, capital of the world, and all nations shall be gathered into it. And now listen to Zechariah 8:20-23. And now, especially, quote, thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us speed to it. Go to Jerusalem. Yes, that's speedily. To pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. And I will also go with you. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come and seek the Lord in Jerusalem. That's the great center. To pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. In those days, now notice what it says here. In those days it shall come to pass that 10 men, that's all, complete, shall take hold of all languages, everybody on the face of the earth, aside from the Jews, 10 men of that group shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. My, what a change. And the Gentile people who have hated the Jews, look what a change. Well, come to them before they'll receive any refreshment. Any rain. My, what a change. Now then, you see, the new covenant will eliminate everything contrary to divine favor. You know, you've heard something about the independent thinker. I'm going to comment here about that to you. Remember, Adam and Eve were independent thinkers. Yeah, they exercised their right to think. They did. Look what happened. There was Judas. Another one. He exercised his independent thinking. Look what happened to him. Now that ain't all. I am thinking of the scripture that tells us about this new order. We're talking about this covenant. New covenant. How will it be? Remember it says, a child shall be cut off for 100 years, and a sinner 100 years old shall be cut off. Why, he was a free thinker. That's right. He thought different, and he lacked obedience. Now this new covenant will bring about complete obedience to the divine law with no independent thinker. Now notice, done it all a picture yet. At the end of the thousand, at the end of the mediatorial reign, I'll say it that way. Lord, was there, Father, the whole human race, all able to keep your law. That's fine. They can, but will they? Now, mind you, these people have gone all through this life, we'll say the average life of 70 and 10, and they've died and been asleep for maybe hundreds of years, many of them. But here they're going over the highway of holiness. At the end of the highway of holiness, God says, now, let's find out. Are they all loyal at heart? Are there any free thinkers here? Then Satan, you see, is loose. And all the free thinkers are found out. And what happens? That's the end of the free thinkers, mind you. Now then, when our Lord turns the entire human race over to the Father, there will be no such thing as free thinkers. Every individual will be obedient to the divine law, and they will remain obedient. Yes. Yes, indeed. That's a wonderful outcome, isn't it? And the new covenant, yes, will bring that about. And then we'll have nothing but obedience worldwide then. No free thinking. Yes. And my dear friends, I would like to give you a lovely little picture in conclusion. Remember, we're told that the second Adam is the Lord from heaven, and therefore the second Eve is from heaven. And the second Adam, our Lord, what will he do? We know that the Father is the life giver of the offspring. And then what will he do? He will awaken him out of the grave. Then what? Why, he threw him. He just lay him in the lap of Mother Eve seated by his side. And then what will she do? He will nurse them, so to speak, he nurses him up the great highway of holiness. And you know, maybe you never stop to think how important the mother is. Don't the mother do the work in the home, tutoring the children? Father brings in the bacon, yes. But mother does the work. Now then, this mother is going to be the great important item in bringing about the blessings of all the families here under this new covenant. Just think of it. My. Now then, I've got to shut up. But I'm going to ask you a question. Under this picture, the family picture of father and mother, just stop and think, Adam and Eve were in perfect condition. But all their children were in perfect condition in the sin cursed earth. Now then, in the antithetical picture, the second Adam and the second Eve are in heavenly realm of the divine nature. But all their children will be here on the earth. What a difference between the children and the parents. Now I'm going to ask you a question. When the whole human race is turned over to the Father, now watch out, Jehovah God, what relation will he be to them? Anybody? Good. Go ahead to class. I get that answer so many times. Why? It'll be Jehovah. He'll be your father. Oh, no. He'll be grandpa. That's right. Now, don't the grandfathers today have more patience with their children than they had with their grandchildren? They had with their own. They do. They can spoil them. Yes. So, grandpa. The great grandfather of the human race, all the patience that he had with his children. And now he's got a wonderful family of grandchildren. and they will all be obedient and no pretension. Lord bless you.
Thank you, brethren.
Our Father, which art in heaven, in whom we live and move and have our being, hallowed be thy name. We thank thee that thou hast opened our eyes to this beautiful divine plan of thee. We're able to see it as a beautiful flower that unfolds. And we're rejoicing and we're now living at a time when its beauty will be made apparent to the great mass of the human race. And they will be able to walk up this great highway of holiness, seeing and realizing the beauty of the great divine plan, which means the blessings of all the families of the earth. We are so thankful for this wonderful convention here in Jackson that we have been able to come together and lift up our voices in praise and thanksgiving for the fellowship of kindred minds. And we pray thy blessing upon us throughout the remainder. May all things be said and done to thy name's honor and glory, our edification in this most holy faith. We pray thy blessing upon us in every way. And may we, in due time, when we have filled our course here upon this earth, realize the full import. And we will feel thy loving arms round about us, and we will be satisfied when we awake in thy likeness. Now we also pray thy blessing upon the temporal food that will be prepared for us. And maybe as we take care of the old man, yet renew our diligence in looking after the interests of the inner man. These favors we humbly ask in through the merit of our dear Lord and Master. Amen.